And he was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witnesses, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished, and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God."
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks for reading. Hello, everyone. Hello again, to be fair. It's been lovely seeing you all jumping up and down doing actions while I sat safely behind my guitar. Good work, though. Very impressed with your dance moves. My name's Henry. For anyone who's new to church, I'm the assistant minister here. And we're going to look at this story in Mark's gospel. And we're going to tie it into our big theme this week. Oh, there it is. Beth just brought up my prop. You'll see what that is for in a second. We're going to tie it into our big theme of the week, that Jesus is our hero. Because what we see in this passage is a completely impossible situation. But thankfully, we have a hero called Jesus. So the theme is impossible. And what I want to do to start us off, to get us into the theme, is to suggest some things that might either be possible or impossible. And when I say it or do it, if you think it's something that's possible, I want a big thumbs up. Can you do that big thumbs up for me? Lovely. Especially you children. Big thumbs up. And if you think it's impossible, big thumbs down. And maybe if you're not sure, just a bit of a wiggle. There we go. Possible, impossible, not really sure. So here's an easy one. Is it possible for pigs to fly? What do you think? No, big thumbs down. Yeah? Good. Okay, bit more controversial one. Is it possible for Man United to win the league this season? It's 30 seconds in, I've already divided everyone. Not sure, maybe. Is it possible for Man City to win the league this season? Yay! Let's be honest. It's looking possible, isn't it? Okay, here's some slightly more difficult ones. Is it possible for you, answer personally, is it possible for you to run the 100 metres in under 15 seconds? Okay, we don't have much pace amongst us. A couple of confident people at the back. That's good. What's the next one? Okay, what about running 100 metres in under 10 seconds? Completely impossible, right? Never going to happen. Take me more closer to 10 minutes than 10 seconds. Okay, what about this one? Is it possible for you to lick your elbow? Do you want to give it a go? Try. See? Some people know. According to the internet, pretty much everyone, like, it's pretty impossible for 99% of people to lick their elbow, but most people that get asked that will automatically try and lick their elbow. It's pretty much impossible. No matter what you do, no matter which way you bend, just can't get there. What about this one? What about sneezing with your eyes open? Who thinks that's possible? I don't think you should try it either. Not possible. Big thumbs down. No, don't try it. Here's one. Is it possible to tickle yourself? Is it possible? Oh, big thumbs up from the front. Lovely. I can't, no. The internet says that for most people, it's impossible. It can't be done. Okay. Here's some ones that I think are definitely impossible. There's my prop. There we go. Is it possible for me to pick up this pillar? I could try, couldn't I? Try as hard as I want. It's not happening. It's not happening. Absolutely. Anyone else want to try? No, some people. No, we're not going to try. Okay. Completely impossible. Never going to happen. Not in a million years. Is it possible for... Now, I know it said needle in our passage, but I have one of these things that you use to get a SIM card out of an iPhone. It's kind of the same. Is it possible for one of the children to fit through this? No. Completely impossible. I'll try and fit through. Look, there you go. It's not happening, is it? No chance. Not happening. This is even bigger. This is about 10 times the size of an eye of a needle, which we heard about in our story. It's impossible to fit through. Do you think it'd be possible to get a camel through this? Yeah. Somebody's saying yes. Good luck. There's no way. A camel's like maybe two of me, maybe a bit more. It's gonna take so many, you know, it's just not going to work, is it? No, I can't even fit my little pinky through here. It's not going to happen. Impossible. Completely impossible. Never going to happen. And our story today, the reason why we look at the Bible story, because it tells us stories about Jesus, and it's the best story, and it makes us see why we need him. Our story today boils down to this. Our man, our main character, he runs up to Jesus, he falls down on his knees, and he asks him a question, doesn't he? He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to gain eternal life?" Have you ever said to your friends, have you ever turned to them and said, "I bet I can run faster than you"? Have you ever turned to your friends and said, "I bet I can throw this as far as that lamppost over there"? Have you ever done that, challenged them? And why do you do that? You do that because you think you can do it, right? You do that because I think I can beat you at a running race. Come on, let's go. And you challenge. This guy runs in front of Jesus in public and goes, "Jesus, what must I do?" And the reason he does it in public is because he thinks he can do it. He thinks he's got what it takes to inherit eternal life. But what's Jesus' answer? Comes at the end. With man, this is impossible. He says it would be easier to fit a camel through the iPhone tool. More than that, easier to fit a camel through the eye of a needle. He says with man, it is impossible. But here's the great thing. With God, all things are possible. What's been our little... thing we've been doing in Holiday Bible Club this week. Ready, children? I need you to be with me here. Heroes Academy. Yes. And again. Heroes Academy. Love that. I didn't shout because it would have deafened you all. When things are impossible, when you're in a situation you can't get out of, you need a hero. So this passage points us towards the ultimate hero. It points us towards the ultimate impossible situation and points us to the ultimate hero. So why is this situation impossible with man? Why is it impossible with man? Well, this man we meet who falls upon his knees, he is rich, really, really rich. We find out in other places in the Bible, he's a rich, young ruler. He's got money, he's got power, people like him, he's got influence. I wonder if you know someone at your school or at your workplace who just has everything. They're good at sport, they're good at music, they get the grades, perhaps they're the boss or the teacher's favorite pupil or employee. They just have everything. And you go, "I want a bit of that." This is the guy. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the person who's just got everything. This is the guy. This rich young ruler has everything. He's the guy who does everything well. He's the guy who gets everyone's approval. He's got everything. He owns everything. He can have anything he wants. He can buy all the camels in the world. He's got all the purple robes because that was the in color those days. Nice one, Holiday Bible Club leaders. He has everything, this guy. He's rich, he's wealthy, he's popular. He's also really good. He's a good person. Did you see in the passage when Jesus says, "You know the rules. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder, do not lie, do not..." He goes, "I've kept those." This man on the surface has lived a good life. He's done everything. He has everything and he's done everything. Yet, we see this in this passage, it's impossible for him to fix what is missing. It's impossible for him to find what is missing in his life. He has everything and he's done everything, yet he's still saying, "Jesus, is there something more? Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Is there anything more I can do? Is there anything more I can be? Is there anything more I need in my life? What's missing, Jesus? Please tell me, Jesus, what's missing?" That's what's behind his question. He has everything, he's done everything, yet something's still missing. And nothing in this world, no matter what you have, no matter what we do, nothing can fill that. You will never be able to find what's missing in this world. Can you imagine that present you received? Imagine back to that Christmas where you got the best Christmas present or birthday present ever. For me, it's that guitar there. There it is, beauty, isn't she? Here we go. Can you imagine that present? Can you imagine receiving that present? Can you imagine opening that present? Can you remember what it made you feel like? How happy and thankful? Yes, I've got it. And then did that present mean you were never sad again? Did that present mean you never asked for any other birthday presents ever again? Did that present mean you were like, Mom and Dad, or whoever got it for you, I'm good now. I'm completely satisfied. Don't want anything else. I'm never going to ask for anything else again. It doesn't work like that, does it? When you got those grades, when you got that school report that was perfect, and did it make you go, yeah, sorted. Don't need anything else anymore. It doesn't work like that, does it? Because nothing we have or nothing we do can ever fill what's missing. It's impossible. Completely impossible. The other thing that's impossible, it's impossible to find what's missing, but it's also impossible to fix our problem. If you go to a doctor, say you have an allergy. What do you need from the doctor? You need a diagnosis. You need them to say, here's your problem, and now here's what's wrong with you. And then you can learn how to fix it. And here we see in this passage that the rich man has a problem. And Jesus diagnoses his problem. And he says, like Jumpy said earlier, he's got the wrong king. He's looking for money to fix everything. He's looking for money to be his hope. He's looking to the things he has to fix his problem. Jesus says this to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give everything away to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Jesus is saying, your money, your stuff is stopping you choosing me. And what happens to the man? He goes away sad. In fact, he goes away grieved. He goes away sorrowful because he has great wealth. He knows his wealth is not enough. This is why he's so sad. He knows his wealth is not enough, yet he can't say no to it. Yet he loves it so much that he can't choose Jesus. He can't choose what he really needs. And that's something we experience all the time. We know the things we chase aren't enough, yet we kind of depend on them. And we need them so much that it stops us asking those big questions. Is there a God? How do I inherit eternal life? How do I have a relationship with God? I wonder what it is in your life that maybe you're chasing, maybe you're looking for, that's stopping you ask those big questions, that's stopping you have a relationship with God. We all have those things that get in the way. And because we have other kings, because we choose our stuff rather than God, because we all love the things, whether it's our football team, our job, our relationships, our money, we all love other things more than we love God. And the Bible says that's because we have sin in our hearts. As we learned this week, it's our biggest weakness and it needs to be fixed. But the problem is, it's impossible for us to fix it on our own. It's an impossible situation. Nothing we can do can fix our greatest problem. And the disciples realize that, because when the man goes away sad, they turn around and look at each other and they think, oh my goodness. If this guy's not in the kingdom of God, if this guy can't inherit, do anything to get eternal life, what chance do the rest of us have? If this guy that's done everything and has everything, if it's impossible for him, and if it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, what chance do the rest of us have? In those days, being rich was that people thought if you were rich, you were doing something right, you were being blessed by God. So they look at this man and they go, we've got no chance. And Jesus looks at them and says, with man it is impossible. With man it is completely impossible. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can have that's going to fill and help us to find what's missing. There's nothing that's going to fix that problem that we always choose something else above Jesus. We always do, don't we? There's nothing that can fix our sin problem. There's nothing that can fix our greatest weakness in this world. But what does Jesus say after that? It's impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. So as we finish, let's just have a think about our hero, Jesus Christ, and how he makes the impossible possible. How he brings us into the kingdom of God. How he gives us eternal life. Eternal life being never-ending joy and happiness in the presence of God. The hope that when we die, we will be in eternal bliss and comfort with the Lord Jesus. How do we get that? How do we have that hope that lasts forever, that can never be taken away? How do we get that? How does Jesus bring that to us? Well, I think This might be controversial. I think my favourite superhero film is The Incredibles. Controversial? Yeah, I can see some people go, what? No. The Incredibles, I think it's a great film. Anyway, we can argue about that later. But there's one amazing scene. There's a burning building. The walls are crumbling. Fire is surrounding the building. The windows are broken. The roof's falling in and caving in. And there's a person in the building. They can't get out. It's completely impossible. So what does Mr. Incredible do? He's on the outside. He's safe. He's not in any danger. What does Mr. Incredible do? He breaks into the building, goes and grabs the little, I think it might even be a cat, goes and grabs the boy and his cat and brings them out of the building to safety. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us. Here in this passage, we see a rich young ruler who was unwilling to give up his stuff to follow Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate rich young ruler who gave up everything. Jesus is the rich young ruler who has been ruling this world and this universe for all eternity. He's been in a perfect relationship with God in perfect peace and happiness and safety and comfort for all of eternity. And he set that aside to come into this world, to come into the burning building that is this world, and to come and get us, to come into our kingdom, to bring us to his kingdom. And how does he do that? He did that in the ultimate way by dying on the cross. By giving up everything, even his life. His friends deserted him. His country, his nation deserted him. And he was hung on the cross as a criminal. Different to Mr. Incredible, who saves through strength. Jesus is so powerful and such an amazing superhero. In the moment of ultimate weakness, in the moment of his death, he was saving the world. And he did that for us. He did that for people who would never choose him. He did that for people who can't choose him. He did that for people who, given the choice, would go, yeah, I'd rather have my PlayStation than you, Jesus. I'd rather have that relationship than you, Jesus. Jesus, you've created me, but I don't want your world. I don't want you, but I just want the things you've given me. What kind of people would we be if we... What would happen if we treated people like that? If Beth had given me that guitar, and I'd gone, great guitar, see you later, Beth, I'm off. What kind of person would I be? Do that? But we do that with God all the time. We go, God, your world, the things you've given me, I'm going to have those things, but nothing to do with you, God. But Jesus came into this world. He came for us. He came into the burning building of this world, and he took us out of the burning building, and he himself died, taking our sin, taking our mess on him. The ultimate Mr. Incredible, the ultimate rich young ruler who in his moment of weakness came into this world to bring us into eternal life. So how do we get eternal life? How do we become part of the kingdom of God? What's our memory verse? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's it. And repent just means to turn. So it means turn from chasing the money. Turn from chasing the job. Turn from chasing the relationship. Turn from putting that at the center of your life and depending your whole existence and your whole satisfaction and your whole meaning on those things. Turn to Jesus, who loves you and can never let you down. Turn to Jesus, who will never leave you feeling empty and feeling like something's missing. Turn to Jesus, who will provide you with hope that goes beyond anything in this life. Turn to Jesus, who will always be there for you. Turn to Jesus, to this man, who's got it all wrong. What does he do? He looks at him in verse 21, and he loves him. And he says, one thing you lack is me. One thing you lack is a relationship with me. Come follow me is the invitation. Remember day one of Holiday Bible Club? Come and follow me, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Treasure that can never be taken away. Treasure that will never be updated like that video game we love. Treasure that will never go out of date. Treasure that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Treasure that will last forever. And it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Treasure that could never be spoiled, even by death. Come follow me, and then you will have the ultimate treasure. Treasure in heaven. And that might mean giving some things up in life. That might mean turning from things we've been looking to. But a guy called Jim Elliot says this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Would you turn away from chasing the temporary? Would we turn away from finding our satisfaction in things that can't satisfy? Would we stop missing out on the treasure of heaven found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Would we repent? Would we turn to God? And would we believe in Jesus and what he's done for us? If you're here for the first time and you've never repented and believed, no one is off limits. anyone is welcome to repent and believe the gospel, because it's not about what you do. It's not about what you have. It's about, do you repent and believe in the gospel? Would you turn and repent? Stop chasing the world and turn to Jesus. Would you give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you are the ultimate rich young ruler, the ultimate superhero, the ultimate Mr. Incredible. You came into the burning building, into our kingdom, into our world, to bring us into your kingdom, to bring us eternal life, to do the impossible. And Jesus, I want to just pray. If anyone here wants to pray this prayer with me, Jesus, we turn to you. We repent. And we want to put our faith in you. Believe in your gospel. Believe in the good news that you have come into the world, and whoever believes in you shall not die, but have eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that good news. We thank you in your name. Amen.